we grew up from the time we were babies up until the time I moved out and moved down south, down to Florida when I was 21.
You grew up in the Detroit area, right?
Yes, in Detroit.
Bloomfield Hills?
No, that's where, no, we grew up in on the east side of Detroit. That's where we grew up.
Is there any truth to Vreeland's story that you guys grew up in the same neighborhood as the Taco family?
As the Taco family?
Do you know anything about them?
No, he may have been referring to Tocos. We had some friends named Toco.
Oh, okay, I'm saying it wrong then. T-O-C-C-O?
Yes, Toco.
So you guys do know these people?
Oh, yeah. Steve Toco and there was a whole family. There was probably five or six of them. You know, they were all different ages, just like our family was.
Dell got arrested with Steve once.
From what I understand, there was an arson case that Dell implicated Steve and my brother-in-law in.
Bobby Moore is your brother-in-law?
Yes. Yeah, he's my brother-in-law. Oh no, but yeah, he's married to our sister Sue.
When did it come to your attention that Delmart was becoming a criminal? What were his early criminal acts?
Oh, gosh, that probably started right about the time I moved to Florida, I guess. I mean, that's one reason I really moved out of Detroit. I just, you know, everyone we knew and hung around with was, you know, either druggies or we stole all the time. We were always in trouble, you know, and I figured, you know, if I didn't get out of there, I'd be just like everybody else. And sure enough, most of my friends are either dead or in jail.
You didn't end up going into the military yourself, did you?
No, I never did. I actually went and applied for the Air Force one time, but my girlfriend talked me out of it. But that's when I was still living in Detroit.
Oh, I see.
So I just decided to, you know, move down to Florida, live with my father and my grandmother, some of them.
So you might want to explain about the Weems Woodbury.
The Weems name is, I was born Terry Weems, but the person that raised us was Bob Woodbury, Robert Woodbury. He was a Detroit policeman, actually, and he raised us from the time I was in, I don't know, probably second or third grade up until I moved, you know, out from home. And he's dead now. He died. But I mean, he raised all of us kids like his own. He had four kids, my mother had four kids, and then they had one together.
A lot of the information that we've been getting, let's say from the furniture store owner that we interviewed, she said at one point in the interview, she said, you could tell Delmert came from a wealthy family. But from what you're telling me, from what I can gather, would you say that your upbringing was hardly in a wealthy neighborhood?
Oh, no, it wasn't. We weren't a wealthy family. We were just your average middle-class family. My father was a police officer. I mean, you know, they're not rich.
No.
And, you know, during the fall, he worked at a cider mill. And, you know, I'm sure we struggled to make ends meet. Our bills were high. We had a lot of kids, a lot of mouths to feed.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't wealthy by any means. We weren't dirt poor, but we weren't wealthy.
What were Delmert's interests as a child and a teenager?
I really don't recall. I mean, be honest with you, as a child, he didn't play sports, but one time he played hockey one time. I mean, we all played sports, you know, as we were kids. But other than that, I mean, anything in particular, I don't recall any interest that he pursued.
Did he seem to have any particular aptitudes that you noticed, or
smart?
Pardon?
He's very smart. He'll read a poster or read information or read somebody's credit card and remember that number forever. He's got one of these memories that if he reads, especially numbers, he can remember it.
Huh.
There was a time when your brother Delmart joined the Navy.
Yes.
We understand that he didn't use his own social insurance number for that.
Yeah, he used my social security number when he joined the Navy.
What was the reason for that?
You know, I don't really know. He could have been wanted by the police because he was, you know, in trouble back then.
Did he have a criminal record?
I'm not sure if he did or didn't at that time.
Because this would have been, from what we gather, when he was around 18.
Right.
And from what...
He could have had a criminal record. I really don't know back that far. I just know what happened later on, you know, after my first son was born. Since when I kind of kept more track. But the first 5 years or so I was in Florida, I didn't have a whole lot of contact with my family, except, you know, with my mother. I called my mother on the phone, and I'd go visit her maybe once every couple of years.
And you were living with your father, as you said.
Well, I was living not with him. I was living on my own, but, you know, in the same town he lived in.
Right.
I moved, you know, down to Avon Park, Florida, or Zolfo Springs.
So what?
One well, caution just, light town.
First of all, do you know when your brother was discharged from the Navy?
I was under the impression from him that he was discharged several years after I found out he used my Social Security number because he was AWOL. And he was always in trouble with when he was in the Navy. He was, you know, in trouble one thing or another. He was being written up. Matter of fact, I was on the base with him one time in Orlando when he when the MPs arrested him. And then I went back home to Orlando, or left Orlando, went back home. And about 3 or 4 hours later, he showed up, you know, we're at the bar where I was playing at. And he told me he just walked out of the, off the base.
So they arrested him and he just was able to walk away?
Yeah, I guess they left him in the custody of an MP or something like that, and the MP turned his back and they all just slipped on out and hopped the gate or something, from what he says.
Do you have any idea why he wanted to enter the armed forces? Was that ever an interest of his before?
I have no idea why he did that. I mean, that was shocking to me for him to be in the military. I guess maybe he thought he was going to try to make a career move or something. I don't know. Or get an education. Who knows?
Over the years, has there been any evidence to suggest to you that your brother was, in fact, a naval intelligence officer, as he says?
No. Dell's the type of person, if he's doing something, he's going to brag about it. I mean, he's never said anything about any kind of espionage or military, you know, covert operations he was doing or anything like that. I mean, if he finds out something new or does something, he's on the phone talking to somebody about it. Wherever he goes, people remember him. He's always got to be the very outgoing person and the center of attention.
To the best of your knowledge, then, when was the first time he claimed to be a naval officer?
When this whole thing started in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first I ever heard of it.
Regarding his criminal history, once again, I just want to get back and ask if you were ever personally defrauded by your brother.
Oh, yes, on several occasions.
Can you describe those for us?
Well, we can start back in Florida. He stole some of my canceled checks closed checking account and went and wrote checks for cruise ship tickets and things like that. Went to the port in Tampa and cashed the tickets back in for cash and got the money. Said he was going to cancel the trip. He did that. Let's see what else. When he was up here in 2000, you know, he did several things. He rented a house. He said he bought it. Then when he left, he sold it to two or three different people, and they were all trying to move in at the same time. He used my wife's ID and credit and changed her credit report.
How was he able to do that?
We really were not sure. All we know is when he left here, it took us a year to clear that up.
Oh my.
He just used her name and actually changed her credit report, changed her license from Alabama to a Florida license. And then, you know, we kept tracking him. You know, we followed him. He was arrested in Virginia after he left here. And then he somehow got out of jail in Split Town before they got a chance to run his prints and found out who he really was. And the state police called here, you know, wanting a bunch of information about him and told me what happened there.
What was the problem in Virginia?
He's had some kind of a connection with Virginia. He's been there several times. And I know he's been in trouble while he's been there.
But you don't know what the charges were exactly? What
no.
The claims were?
No.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, every time he comes around here, he leaves, and there's always some sort of crime committed. One time he came down here, and I was recording in a studio. That night he left, and when he left, he broke into the studio and took everything they had out of the studio, all their equipment, and started pawning it. I kind of got on the phone with him. He called me and told me where he was at, so I called the police, and they went and arrested him down in Orlando, in Kissimmee, I guess it was.
He seems to have spent a lot of time in Florida and Michigan, as well as Virginia.
Yes.
And you're saying this recording studio you were in, was this in Alabama?
Yes, it was in Muscle Shoals. And he tried blaming that on everybody, me, the people that own the studio. I mean, it was everybody's fault but his. And that's usually the way it goes when he commits a crime.
Now you mentioned this thing with your wife's driver's license. This is making me think that there may have been some kind of accomplice involved. Because, I mean, Dell may be a cunning criminal, but, posing as a woman would be a difficult thing. Do you think that he had any help?
Yeah, he had a friend that was traveling with him, and he was a makeup artist. And from what I gather, they had dressed up as women before. And a police officer told me that when he was arrested in Canada, he was dressed as a woman. And I don't know if that's true or not.
You mean on December 6th?
Yes. I mean, I don't know if there's any truth to that, but that's what I was told.
You were told that by a police officer in Canada, or from Canada, or from the U.S.?
From the U.S.
From which jurisdiction?
Oakland County. He said that one of his friends turned him in.
Yeah, we read that on the Oakland County Sheriff's Department website. Do you have any idea who that might be?
Detective Myers, I believe.
Do you have any idea who his friend who turned him in might be?
No.
As related to the other question I asked you about how he's defrauded you personally, has he done the same thing to any other members of your family?
To my stepfather, he pulled a scam on him one time back in around 96 or 97.
And this relates to the same furniture store that he defrauded?
It was at that same time, yes.
We were told that your father-in-law had dealings with the furniture store in Troy.
Uh-huh.
That had something to do with covering Delmart's debts.
Yeah, what happened was somehow Tony had faith in Dell that, you know, he was going to make this computer business work and go good. So Tony had some association with it. And what Dell was doing in this computer company was signing Tony's name to documents and pretending that he was Tony when people would call him on the phone. And I let Tony, you know, have knowledge that Dell was doing that. And it ended up costing Tony a lot of money to buy his way out of all the lawsuits that were pending to be filed against him, or charges, or something happened.
So
Dell ended up ripping off a bunch of doctors in Atlanta, you know, through this computer company. And Tony almost, you know, took pretty good on it. Tony didn't do anything wrong. It was everything Dell was doing, but he was just using Tony's credit or something, resources to...
Were there ever any computers involved? We heard stories that what he did was sold computers that didn't actually exist. Does that sound right to you?
Yes and no. I mean, computers actually did exist because I was up there at that time actually working for him. They would bring all the parts in, and we'd put computers together. I'd put them together, and Eddie would program them, and then they'd get sold. And a lot of stuff they sold was just, you know, stuff out of a magazine or something, or a catalog. And we had never had our hands on any products on a lot of things they sold, like, you know, hardware and software and things like that. But I was never involved in that. I just came up there for a summer to work one summer when I got divorced.
Do you have any idea how he's been able to repeatedly avoid jail?
That's a good question, because as many times as he's been arrested, and I've turned him into the police several times, he seems to always get out of it on a technicality or some sort of loophole. He knows the law very well. And, you know, of course, our legal system's not perfect, and they're going to make mistakes. And the average, you know, criminal or person on the street that gets arrested for a crime doesn't know of a lot of these little loopholes and technicalities. And when the courts mess up, you know, he's right there to catch it, and he capitalizes on it, I guess. And he always seems to get away. I mean, with as much crime that's going on, they can't, you know, give every case 100% of their attention, of course.
Yeah.
So, you know, accidents are going to happen and mistakes are going to happen. And if there's someone there that knows the law, like he does, then, you know, he can jump right on it and use that to his advantage.
Where do you think he picked up all this legal knowledge?
Jail. reading law books in jail. He spent enough time there, especially in Michigan.
Well, how much time exactly has he spent in jail?
I don't know the exact amount of time, but I know for 10 years he didn't spend a single Christmas at home because he was in and out of jail so much. When he wasn't in jail, he was on a tether, and the few times that he was out of jail and actually legally free, it didn't last that long because he was always up to something else. So he's either in jail and are running from the law, mostly, most of his life.
Can you confirm whether he was in halfway houses and things like that?
I know he was in some sort of correctional facility, a minimum security place up in Michigan, and some woman judge made an example out of him. She, you know, I was reading some court documents, and she stated that a boy from the upbringing that he's from should know better and blah, 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 and she just socked it to him. And then from that, he violated his probation a lot, and that put him back in jail a lot.
Really, what we're talking about, perhaps from 1998 or 1988 until 1996 or so, he spent a lot of time in jail.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But since
I visited him in Macomb County Jail one time.
What was the charge there?
You know, I'm not really sure what he was in jail for at that time, but I just remember one time my mother and I and my son, you know, went up there and saw him.
But after about,
I think it was at Christmas time or something like that.
But after about 1996, he seems to have been able to stay out of jail quite well, except his current stay in Canadian jail for a period of time.
Yeah, because he was, you know, capitalizing. He's good at identity theft, and I think during a lot of them years, he was probably wanted, but he just was able to elude police always. Every time he got arrested, he was able to bail out or get out of it using a false ID. Or, you know, avoid being arrested because he had a fake ID.
How does the rest of your family feel about what he's been up to?
Well, that's kind of a touchy subject there. I mean, I'm not really sure.
No, and we definitely don't want you to speak for anyone else.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have a whole lot of support, let me say that way. There's only one or two people in our family that are really behind him and helping him.
If I understand your posts on various message boards correctly, that would be primarily your mom.
That's possible. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say anything bad about my mother because, I mean, she's just doing what a mother does. Loves her son. She's going to help him no matter what. But, I mean, she's a victim just like anyone else is. He's got her fooled. And, you know, of course she loves him, so she's going to do whatever she can to help him.
Are you aware of Delmart being in the Bahamas and attempts to extradite him from that country?
I know he's been to the Bahamas several times, but I didn't know anything about any extradition attempts.
Why do you think he went to the Bahamas?
I have no idea. I know he likes the Bahamas. Him and his girlfriend went down there and apparently got married by a beach preacher one time. And I know he just likes the Bahamas. He likes that tropical, you know, climate.
Is that the woman who's the mother of his son?
No.
Okay. How old is his son?
I did not know he had he's got an adopted son, Danny. I don't know, he had this thing about wanting to be a family man, I guess, and apparently he might have adopted some. I don't know if he legally did or not. I know he had some sort of custody of this boy.
Do you know if your brothers traveled to other countries other than the Bahamas and were primarily interested in a possible trip to Russia?
I've never heard of anything of him going to Russia. I know he went to Amsterdam back in about 96 or 97. But as far as Russia, I mean, I have no idea that he did or didn't. If he did in 2000, I don't know how he found time. And being on the run, I mean, he was here till the fall of 2000. And from the time he left here, we followed him all the way up to Canada just about. We lost track of him for about a month.
He was with you until what, September of 2000 then?
Yeah, something like that.
That's when
right around the time school started.
And that is exactly the time that he says he got his orders from the Navy.
Yeah. I don't believe the whole Navy thing. I can't swallow that.
Are you startled by the depth of his story?
Not the depth of it, because he's a very convincing person, and he's the type of person that can talk to you and tell you something that, you know, definitely is not true. And by the time he's done talking to you, you're believing him and feeling sorry for him. I'm not saying it's not possible that he's done these things he said he did, but I just don't see it I mean, it just doesn't add up to me for the Navy to, or the Office of Naval Intelligence to use him as a spy would not be a smart thing to do. I mean, of course, and he said he's been in the Navy for 17 years. What was the Navy's position on him being in and out of trouble all these years?
Now, you also mentioned that Delmart has asked for back pay
right. For
the 17 years. Explain to us a little bit about that.
You know, I don't understand how he can be in the military for 17 years and never get paid and have an office at the Pentagon. It just don't float. It don't make sense to me. And I didn't know they had, you know, spies had their own offices. Maybe they got a whole floor for nothing but spies. I don't know. It seems too far-fetched. I mean, to use someone like him as a spy would be, he's so, I don't know how can you put it, I wouldn't say not reliable, but I don't know, I can't find the words.
Incredible.
He just doesn't fit the type of person that's disciplined to be a spy and do that type of work and be reliable.
Well, certainly the story that we heard about his antics in Indiana, which I think happened maybe immediately after this furniture store situation, where he took a stolen Navigator truck or van, broke into a Porsche lot, stole a red Porsche, left the Navigator there with all kinds of fake ID in it,
Yeah. Then
traveled along a road. Evidently, he was intoxicated, ran the car off the road, was then... I mean, it just sounds so sloppy, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah, I mean, when he leaves somewhere, he leaves a load of paperwork behind, I mean, with fake IDs. I got a bunch of stuff, you know, in our possession of fake IDs that he used and applications he's filled out. And we keep that stuff in a safe deposit box for future reference.
I'm wondering if the Canadian authorities have been in touch with you at all.
No, they haven't.
Do you find that odd?
I don't know. There's no telling what Dell's telling him, you know. And he's very convincing. He could tell him anything and make him believe anything. So it surprises me, but then again, it doesn't. I mean, with Dell, anything's possible. You just never know what to expect. He's got so many tall tales, and, you know, every time he talks to you, he stretches the truth quite often, you have to say.
I know you mentioned in something I read that you were going to be getting in touch with Mike Rupert. Did that ever come to pass?
I emailed Mike Rupert, and he kind of emailed me back and kind of just blew me off as a quack, so I let it go. I mean, I don't care if they believe me or not.
Are you surprised by the number of people who still believe your brother's story?
Yeah, I mean, I really am, because a lot of these people are on his website proclaiming, you know, of what Dell is, and none of them really know him. And someone will say something on his website and type in a question that's a really legitimate question that needs to be answered, or they'll call him for a discrepancy that he's made referring to something, and he'll get mad and just blow him out. Then other people will come to Dell's defense and say something like, well, I'll have you know Dell was stationed here and he worked for blah, 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 like they know the guy. And all they know is what he's telling them. And quite frankly, the court documents that I've read doesn't have any proof in it to any alleged spy ring or anything. It's just motions and, you know, things like that.
What was the most serious crime that you know of that Delmar Vreeland has been alleged to have committed?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, they're all basically the same type of white-collar, you know, fraud crimes. He's not really a violent criminal. I had reason to suspect that they were robbing people, you know, him and one of his friends, according to what his friend told me.
Getting back to, and I know this is probably a touchy subject, and you could tell earlier that we were rather shocked by a revelation that you made there about your relationship with, family relationship with Bobby Moore. And I know it must be difficult for you to talk about this perhaps, but can you set us straight about what happened there?
With Bobby Moore, apparently his restaurant burnt down, and Dell was in jail just like he was in Canada and said, hey, I have knowledge of this fire. I was paid to burn it down. And he allegedly said that Bobby offered him X amount of dollars and for him and Toko to burn the place down. And Del said he mailed the letter with that information on it 4 days before the place burnt down. But the police didn't receive the letter till like a week after it burnt down. And it was postmarked 4 or 5 days after the place burnt down. And same scenario, you know, he's in jail and he's got information on something and he's mailed it before it happened. And, you know, same old story. And he wants to make a deal to get out of jail.
Did you talk to your brother when he was in jail up here in Toronto?
Yeah, he called me several times. And we just, you know, back then I was still mad at him, where we just ended up getting in an argument and I'd hang up on him or something.
Did he mention anything to you about September 11th?
No.
Before it happened, no?
No.
So you have every reason to doubt what he says.
Yeah, I mean, he may have came... I mean, the only possibility I see, he may have came in contact with someone that had knowledge of this and was told that that's possible, or he may have got a hold of some documents that state something, but he didn't get them being a naval officer. I'm sure he stole them from somebody, you know, or from someone somewhere in a motel room or something. I mean, that's the most possible, you know, that's my theory of it, you know, based on what I know about what him and his friend were doing, you know, in motel rooms.
Do you know anything about Mark Bastian?
Dell says that I know him and that I met him at his house in Rochester, but I don't ever remember meeting the guy.
This is Rochester, Michigan.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, Dell was arrested in Rochester, or New York also. He's wanted there.
Do you know what that's all about?
What was that? Let's see, New York. Had something to do with a limo or something. I don't know. Something happened in New York and he was arrested in New York. And then he was arrested in Orlando at near some gay club. He had a stolen blazer, and he had 3 gallons of GHB. I know that.
That's...
I know, and the comment he made when he was arrested to the police officer, he said, that 3 gallons of GHB isn't mine. I mean, they had to chase him from the vehicle, and they caught him in a lake with all his clothes on. He tried telling him he was just swimming, you know. But he was fully clothed.
So you have records that you've obtained from various law enforcement agencies and keeping tabs on your brother over the years, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did you learn anything from those that you weren't aware of already from your own personal knowledge?
Yeah. Things of his arrest and things that he's, you know, done.
Did any of it surprise you at all?
At first it did. Now it's like, you know, I expect it. You never want to believe anything bad about, you know, someone in your family and stuff, but sooner or later, you know, you just have to wake up and say, man, this is true, you know.
So let's say the attempts to extradite your brother are successful to Michigan.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that there are many, many other jurisdictions that are just waiting to...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Make further charges?
From what I understand, he's wanted in like 5 or 6 states, and he'll go from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, and he'll be in jail the rest of his life. I mean, he's going to be habitualized. Not the first time either. I don't know how he keeps not, you know, winding up in jail for the rest of his life. He's the luckiest person, luckiest criminal I've ever known.
I wanted to ask you about something that I saw that you posted on a message board this afternoon, and that is regarding the injury to your brother's face. Now, he claims, he claims, and I'll just go through this for the listeners.
Okay.
He claims that he was shot in the cheek and left for dead. It was some kind of mob hit in a retaliation for the whole Moore Toko thing back in 97.
Right.
Do you know the reality of how he was injured in that fashion?
Absolutely.
Why don't you tell us about that?
Back when I lived in Florida around, I don't know, 85, 86, or 87, somewhere around that time frame, was when he was in the Navy down there. He had a cyst on the side of his face, and it was puffed out like he had a dish rag in his mouth. And he drilled a little hole in the side of his face, or actually a large hole, and he lanced it basically and just bled it dry as best he could, and it left a huge gaping hole in the side of his face. The whole side of his face turned purple from him squeezing on it. I mean, that scar has been there, and that's what that scar is from, a cyst. It's not from a gunshot wound.
Now, you know that Delmart says that people like Bobby Moore and Stephen Toko are organized crime figures. Do you have any comment about that?
I doubt it. Steve Toko is the farthest thing from organized crime, and Bobby Moore, that's just Dell making accusations against him because Dell, I guess Dell's just jealous of him because he's successful. He's a restaurateur. I mean, he's very successful, has several successful restaurants, and I mean, Bobby's just been a brother-in-law to me. I never knew Bobby before my sister married him. And as far as I know, I mean, he's not involved in organized crime. There's been some alleged drug cases against him from what Dell says, and they were dismissed. One was a 10-year-old case for possession or something like that. I mean, it was nothing major from what I understand.
And it was very likely evidence that was brought in order to support what Vreeland was testifying to
right,
in court.
Right,
right. Just to give your brother a little more credibility. You know what I'm sure you read the newspaper articles at the time about what the judge said about your brother.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he said that it was the most non-credible witness he'd ever heard in his life. I mean, and see, Dell was supposed to get the witness protection program and get his record wiped clean. Well, Dell's claiming that they never came through with the promises they made, but what happened was Dell never came through with the accusations he made. And that's, if they take people and do that, they dismiss their record and put them in the protection program, but they got to deliver in order to do that. And if you don't deliver, you don't get it.
And that appears to line up with what he tried to do here in Canada. He said that he would tell them, i.e. the Canadian authorities, about these things about September 11th and so on, if his record was wiped clean.
Yeah, again.
Or they would, it was that if they allowed him to be tape recorded, like his statement to be tape recorded, then he says, if you do that, I'll agree for you to do that, but everything has to be wiped off. So he's desperate, really, as you can see, because you've said that he'll probably spend the rest of his life in jail, if they can keep him in one.
Right.
Based on all of the charges that are existent all over the United States.
Right. He's got, Ohio, New York, Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, Florida. And that's just what we know. There's no telling what he's done under names that no one even knows who he is.
Now, I have a question to you about a claim or a report that Michael Rupert has mentioned quite a bit. And this is 1986. Rupert claims that there's an LA Times article that talks about a Delmart Vreeland in California living next door to someone who was arrested in a huge, huge cocaine bust. Are you aware of Delmart Vreeland ever living in California?
Not that I know of. But I mean, he could have. I know he was in Las Vegas back in the early 90s. But I mean, anything's possible. You just never know.
This would have been during the time when you weren't in touch with him, really.
Right. I don't know anything about that.
Okay,
I'm aware of Rupert saying that he testified against someone in California.
Well, how would you describe your relationship with your brother right now? You still talk to him, yeah?
We still talk, but he's just, trying to find out information from me, and I'm just being polite with him. I don't hate him, but, we don't get along. I mean, he's committed too many crimes against me, and he knows that, if it comes down to it and he comes back here to go to trial, we're going to testify against him.
Do you think that's going to happen?
If he ever comes back here, well, I know it'll happen. I mean, unless he pulls off his scam for what he's doing now. If he gets away, I mean, I'm surprised. Actually, I believe he'll probably get away with it. I mean, that's how good he is.
Do you think he'll get away with evading the extradition request?
Yeah, I believe he will. Yeah, I just can't understand it. I mean, why would they want him to be in their country, with his history? And the history they have on him is only less than 5 years old. Everything under that has been, wiped clean.
How did that happen?
I don't know. I don't know how it happened. Yep. I mean, one of the detectives here held up his police record, and he held it up over his head, and it was just pages and pages. And he said, this is just in the last 3 years. And I believe it happened with that the Bobby Moore case is what did it. They wiped his record clean, and they didn't put him in the protection program. Or they kicked him out of it. I know he was in it for a little while. And, you know, it's the same thing, the same crimes, but it's just different people, different places. But the story remains, when he gets caught, it's always someone else's fault that's hanging around with him. You know, he puts the blame on some young kid somewhere. And he's always running around with young kids. I mean, just kids all the time.
I guess what we don't understand, we don't know much about extradition law and so on, but we're surprised there aren't five or six states desperate to get him back.
Oh, they are.
Petitioning the Canadian government.
They just, half of them don't even know where he's at, and the ones that do don't even know that, didn't even know that he was out on bail in a safe house, or, you know. It's just amazing. They don't know all they know is what's in front of their desk at the moment, you know. That's Dell's life, is just fraud. You know, he does a lot of paper cons, money cons, credit cards, checks, that kind of thing.
I'm surprised he hasn't become a stockbroker.
Well, I think he tried to do that, and the FBI wants him for Securities Exchange Commission fraud or something like that. I don't know what it is. I know I read it in one of the reports that the FBI wants him for securities fraud.
Yes.
Matter of fact, I have one of his bogus stock certificates here.
What's the company?
Somewhere. I don't even know what it's called. It's just, it has his name on it.
Have you spoken with any other people in the media about your brother?
Nick Prawn and Mr. Korn, I spoke with him also.
Have these been recent discussions?
No, it's been probably a month since I've talked to any of them. Well, I mean, probably at the time it sounded like a good story. He just didn't know the depth of it until you really get involved in it. Same thing with, who's it, Mike Rupert?
Yeah.
Or is that who's back in Dell and all his...
Yeah, we did an interview with him last week, or the week before, pretty recently anyway, within the past week and a half or so, and he's still really going to bat for your brother.
Well, see, you know, he's actually a pretty good guy from what I understand, and he makes a lot of points and brings a lot of things to light about corruption and stuff, but I think he got suckered into this and he just wants to believe, because there's so many people that want to believe this type of stuff happens, and I think Dell's going to make him look bad in the long run. Yeah, I've read some of his stuff and the things that he does, and he makes very good points and brings a lot of attention to a lot of things that need attention.
Well,
but this is just one of them. I think he made a mistake on. It was just, you know, just bad judgment. I mean, Dell's believable. That's the whole thing. He's believable. No one's doing any background work on this, it seems. They're just taking what he says for it, you know, what it is, and everybody goes with it, it seems like. And the sad part about it is, you know, you can say anything, and there's always going to be a percentage of people out there that are going to believe you, you know, and all it takes is just that small percentage to get a snowball rolling, you know. No telling what can happen with people's active minds and things like that.
Something came to mind here, and why do you think he was stealing furniture?
Well, he wasn't stealing the furniture. He bought it for himself and just never paid for it, I believe is what happened.
So you think he took it with him when he moved?
Oh, no. He didn't take it with him. I think Amy got it.
Who, sorry?
His wife.
Oh, okay, I see.
I think she took everything that was in the house and put it in storage, and I don't know what happened to it after that. There was a big dispute over his furniture when he left, because he had a big house in Rochester, you know, huge home. Had over half a dozen brand new cars, a couple Corvettes, motorcycles, you name it, beautiful furniture, and the place was just decked out. He was going too fast, too quick with that computer company, and he just couldn't resist the scam. I mean, he could have made money and made money legitimately and done very well, but he had these doctors in Atlanta, he had them on a hook, and after they signed a contract with him, Dell changed the contract and then kept their money and didn't deliver the goods, and that's what got everyone in trouble.
Oh, and that's why we had heard that there maybe were no computers.
Well, you know, there were computers and parts were delivered. I mean, that's easy to be very easily verified, because I mean, trucking companies delivered the parts. And I mean, I was there to help unload them.
So where is Amy now?
I'm not really sure.
But not likely up here in Canada.
No, she's not in Canada. She's in Michigan still.
And when did that marriage?
I don't know if that was, you know, a legitimate marriage. They were married by a beach preacher in the Bahamas.
When?
That was around 96 or something like that. 95. Well, I guess, you know, my biggest question is, if he had an office at the Pentagon, why didn't he have a paycheck?
Yeah, that.
I mean, some people may well say that's a stupid question, but hey, if you got an office in the Pentagon, you got to be on somebody's payroll. You just don't have an office, or someone had to see him, or someone had to know this office existed, you know? And if he was in the military for 17 years and he was an officer, you think his attitude would be a little more disciplined than it is, and his anger, he could control it a little bit better, and we just wouldn't explode and act like a little kid on his webpage, you know, deleting people for asking questions or because they don't agree with him. I mean, if he was really who he says he is, then, you know, he had just let the post that they put stay there. And because he knows that he's right and he can prove it.
Well, what do you say to people who believe your brother's story? If you were going to address those people directly, what would you say?
I said, you know, believe him if you want to believe him, but in the long run, you know, the truth will come out, and I think, you know, deep in my heart that they will be made fools of. I mean, I'll be laughing in the long run, because I just know he was not O and I. I just know my brother, and I've been around him too much, and if he was doing anything, he'd run his mouth about it. I mean, as soon as he got out of jail and had this whole thing worked up, he called me, of all people, out of the blue, knowing that my wife and I were just furious at him. You know, he just can't resist to brag, no matter what he does.
Do you think there's a chance he'll flee before this comes to trial?
That's what I think. I think he has nothing to lose. That's why he's doing what he's doing. And he's going to ride it out to the last minute, then he's going to disappear. I may be wrong, you know, but that's what I believe. Yeah. Every time, you know, he gets in trouble, he goes on the lam.